Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Aradio.com Sports Station.
Let's do this!
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakery from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. He's Chuck Freeman, filling in for Bart Winkler. I'm Ryan Horvath. Tweet at us, 105.7 FM, The Fan. You could also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and the Radio.com app. A full show for you today. Rob Reichel of Forbes.com. He'll be joining us in about 10 minutes from now. We're going to talk about the backup quarterback job in Green Bay. He just released a piece about that battle. Adam McKelvey from Brewers.com, MLB.com, joins us at 8. And then our old friend Eli Hershkovich from Radio.com Sports. He'll join us at 9:20. We'll discuss his new show, You Better Bet. You can find that at Radio.com Sports. We're going to talk some college football, some NFL Week 1 picks, and a little Aaron Rodgers MVP talk as well. But right now we're talking Brewers baseball as they fall to the Cardinals 3-0 last night. They managed just one hit. Cardinals starter Dakota Hudson and two relievers combined for a one-hitter, which is kind of rare to see in baseball these days, Freems, with the ball being juiced. I mean, there's no doubt about it, right, that ball's juiced. 414-799-1250. Are you enjoying this season of Brewers baseball? You could also tweet at us at 105.7FM The Fan, and that's what Adam did. He says, Saturday was the first game where I actually had to believe the juice balls theory. Hitters just trying to make contact to stay alive. We're hitting oppo home runs.
See, I don't think the ball is juiced at all. I just think these guys are so strong, and the pitching is so bad out there. And these guys in the offseason have worked on launch angles, mm-hmm. hitting the ball a long way. And, you know, these guys are strong. These guys are, you know, even your stocky, you know, 6 foot second baseman are hitting balls a long, long way. All right. I mean, even look at Hira. Hira's not even a home run hitter, but he's got some power. You look at him compared to, you know, second baseman from years gone by. He's got some power, man. I interviewed him, and he says, I'm not trying to go out there and hit home runs, but these guys can all hit because there's a launch angle there that they're after now these days. So I think it's the equipment, what these guys do to themselves in the off season. These guys work out, put themselves in great shape, and they're stronger and faster than they ever have been. And plus the pitching, I just think is awful. You know, I mean, gone are the days where a pitcher like Hader can throw 98 down the middle and strike somebody out. Because if you today you put it right down the middle, that ball's going a lot. The bat speed with these guys, you don't have to have tremendous power to hit one off on Hader. You connect at a place like Miller Park. I mean, Miller Park doesn't take a lot to hit a home run out of Miller Park. So I hear that the ball is juiced. I just look at some of the ballparks and I look at, you know, the way these guys are built and how strong these guys are, and they're all trying to hit home runs and their attack of a game. You know, managers today don't care if a guy strikes out three or four times a game. Mm-hmm. They just want the 3-run home run. Joe Maddon doesn't want to play that way, but a lot of managers do. They're just sitting back. Look at Council. He's looking for the 3-run home run.
Yeah, I agree with the launch angle. I agree that guys are just swinging for the fences and that strikeouts don't matter as much. Guys aren't taking walks anymore, but I think the ball's juiced. I think Major League Baseball kind of came out and said that the balls aren't the same. Here's my theory. I think the ball is juiced in big series, okay? So we remember if the Yankees are playing the Red Sox, I feel like that ball is going to be juiced.
So there's a certain amount of baseballs that they take and say, hey,
yes,
we're going to take these baseballs. These are the balls that got ping pongs in them.
Yeah, I even looked at the numbers because I'm a psychopath and I like to bet overs. 414-799-1250. You could get in touch with the show. Are you enjoying this Brewers season? But let's talk a little bit about the juice balls here, Freems. I have a theory. If it's a big division series, right? Mm-hmm. If it's Yankees Red Sox, that ball's going to be juiced up. Even if it's Nationals Brewers and Fox Sports 1 has coverage on a Saturday night, that ball's juiced up. Cardinals Brewers, division rivals, two teams that are competing, two teams that could be World Series favorites, well, were World Series favorites heading into the season. I found this number, right? The Brewers and the Cardinals, they have combined for 46 home runs in the first 11 games of their season series. The Brewers have hit 25 against the Cardinals already this year, and the Cardinals have hit 21 homers.
So you think in only division rival games or nationally televised games, that's when they use the juice balls?
I don't think they could juice the ball for all 162 games.
Why wouldn't they use the balls for all those games? Why wouldn't they use if the ball's juiced, why wouldn't they use it for every game?
Because then it would be fishy. You would know something was up. You can't juice the ball for every game, but I feel like there's a certain amount of balls out there that get sent over for a series.
Yeah, but if the fix is on for a couple of games like this, isn't it easier to detect?
I don't know
to
if
detect?
The fix is on. I just feel like...
If they're using phony baseballs.
Well, I mean, what's the complaint about baseball? It's boring. The games are too long. People want more offense. Mm-hmm. They don't want to see pitcher duels. You don't want to see a 3-0 Cardinals win where there's a combined one-hitter pitch for some reason. Because with the millennials, damn millennials, like Nick Bode producing the show and myself behind the board and hosting today for Bart Winkler, we want to see offense. The Brewers, 25 homers against the Cardinals. Cardinals, 21. So I had to dive deeper into this. And the Cardinals' single-season record for homers against the Brewers is 24. It happened twice in 2003 and then 2018. The Brewers have already matched their single-season high against St. Louis, which was set in 2017, when I started noticing something different about the balls. There was the steroid era where guys like Brady Anderson went from leading off and hitting 8 homers to 50 the next year. Now there's the juice ball era. There's something going on with these balls.
All right, well then, but see, if you're going to go that theory, I don't know if there's balls for a specific series. And then, like, a week ago Sunday, the Brewers lost a 1-0 game at Miller Park. You had 45,000 people in the stands. Now, you would think, under your theory there, you have 45,000 people in the stands. Wouldn't you want to give them a show instead of a 1-0 game? I mean, you give them a 1-0 game, you give them a sleeping pill of a game.
Well,
horrible game to watch.
Just because the ball's juiced doesn't mean a good pitching performance. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, the ball could be juiced, and you could still get a 3-0 game, I feel, if you got Max Scherzer versus...
Yeah. Well, we didn't have that a week ago Sunday. I mean, it was just both teams were just futile at the plate. You know, strikeouts, weakly hit fly balls. I don't know. I mean, I just feel if you're going after the juice ball era, it would be used in all the games. I don't think that they'd have certain balls set aside for big series or big moments or nationally televised games. They would use it for all the games. But I really think it's the same baseball. It's just these guys are so good at hitting the long ball these days.
4-1-4-7-9-9-12-50. Yeah, they are. I mean, they're bigger and stronger. That's a good point
Thames,
you make right there.
Thames at the plate. Thames is thinking yard every time he's up at the plate. Yelich is so good that, I mean, he hit that, what was the game? There was a game last week at Miller Park. Oh, the game that came from behind where they won on Wednesday with Grisham hitting the 3-run home run. I think that's the game.
Okay.
Where Yelich put one off the left field wall, nearly went through the wall. I mean, that one crushed the wall. I mean, Yelich, he's out there just hitting the ball hard. I mean, every time that guy's up, it's a hard hit ball. Even his ground outs are loud outs. So, I don't know. I just think some of these guys are just so good and so strong, and the pitching is so bad in baseball. That's why, you know, these guys are getting $15, $18 million a year, $20, $25, $30 million, because pitching is, there's not a lot of good pitching out there.
The Kyle Schwarber home run that he hit at Miller Park, the first one was a no-doubter in that last series against the Cubs on that Sunday, you know, and that one, I mean, that was a no-doubter. But the one where he barely extended his arms, goes opposite field, there's just something up with that.
Yeah, but the fence is not very far away. I mean, Miller Park is a hitter's delight. I mean, how often do you ever see a ball that's hit the left center field, that's hit hard, that dies out there?
Not very often.
I mean, they always, if they're not crawling over the fence, they're going over the fence in back of the bullpen in left field. It's just, Miller Park, it doesn't take a lot to hit one out of there. And that's why when they got Yelich with one thing in mind, that, and Moustakas too, to put up big numbers at Miller Park. And both guys have.
Mainly the first half of the season for Moustakas. I think he's hit, what, like 5 homers since the All-Star break? Yeah. KJ tweets in at 105.7 FM. The Fan says, after watching Rendon hit that homer, which he thought was a routine fly ball that landed in the seats on Sunday, I really think that the baseball is modified. So I feel like it's going to be an argument that we're going to have probably for the next couple of years. There's actually a Twitter account out there, and they go through like every homer that looks a little fishy. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, yeah, you want to think that the ball isn't modified, but I don't know. There's something up. And in big series like this, I feel like, I don't know, it's just a little fishy.
Did you ever play in a softball league where they play the modified softball? Where they use that softball so the ball doesn't fly as far? Like in Waukesha, at Saratoga. Not that they were using the red dot, which, you know, those things fly out easily, but they were using a ball that that still took some to get out. But today they use like a pin cushion out there, and it takes a lot to get one out.
Yeah,
and so I've in softball I've seen modified where they've gone the other way, where they've used really soft baseballs, and it's by the fourth inning the ball's dying in the infield.
I feel like we played in two totally different softball leagues, because the league I play in, the ball definitely wasn't modified. We were only allowed to hit one homer, yeah, and then it's automatic out. You said that you hit three in a game. That made me jealous, because I had a two-homer, five in a game.
Five.
I hit two. It was the first time I had a multiple homer game, and I got called out, and I didn't really understand the rules. Yeah. I was playing baseball at the time. I came home for the summer and was trying to work my way back from a torn rotator cuff. My buddies were like, come swing the bat and play some softballs. All right, I'll do it. I go yard twice, and then they call me out. I didn't know the rule. I was pissed,
yeah,
man.
Well, then there's been leagues. There's been like tournaments I played in where each team has got like a designated home run hitter, mm-hmm, where only that guy can hit a home run. Everybody else who hits a home run, it's like a double or an out. Weird.
No, but, definitely weird.
Yeah. But back to baseball. I don't think the ball's juiced. You and I are going to disagree on that one.
We'll disagree there. 414-799-1250. You still got time to jump on throughout the morning. We're asking you, are you enjoying this season of Brewers baseball? We're going to take a little bit of a break from the diamond. Rob Reichel of Forbes.com, he's going to join us next. We're going to discuss the backup quarterback job in Green Bay. Also, will we see Aaron Rodgers on Thursday night in Winnipeg against the Raiders? It's Chuck and Winkler here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Now, a Chili's Green and Gold update, presented by Chili's 3 for $10 deal and the Radisson Hotel and Conference Center, Green Bay. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers are preparing for their game Thursday night against the Raiders. They'll leave for Canada tomorrow. Aaron Rodgers returned to practice and was asked on paper, is this the best group of receivers he's ever had in Green Bay?
Just on resumes? I mean, I can't put it up there as the best receiving group we've had based on resumes. I think it's definitely one of the deeper groups that we've had. There's a lot of guys with legitimate shots to make the team. Some guys who you didn't maybe think of before camp, who've had incredible camps. And I'm talking about specifically Alan Lazard. I think he's had a really nice camp. He's made a bunch of plays.
Another rookie standout has been number 10, Darius Shepherd, who has two touchdown catches and is being looked at as a punt and kickoff returner. Fellow receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
You can tell he's taking it serious. You would think he'd be in the NFL for a couple years where he operates. Very professional, all about business, just wants to do whatever he can to make sure he's going to be on this team.
DeShone Kizer and Tim Boyle continue to be inconsistent at practice and in the games. GM Brian Gutekunst was asked if the Packers' backup quarterback is on this roster or somewhere else around the league.
I think we got some pretty good options, and they're competing right now. So, yeah, I think that's probably likely that it would come from the guys on our roster right now.
At 6'4", Kizer is athletic. One minute, he can hit a target on the run 55 yards downfield, and the next, overthrow Devontae Adams in the flats just 10 yards away. I asked head coach Matt LaFleur why Kizer struggles with his accuracy.
Some of the times where he hasn't been as accurate, I always look at his feet. When he's nice and tempoed at the top, I think he's spot on. It's just when he starts getting more bouncy at the top of his drop is where I think it just speeds his body up. And I think that's the tendency for most quarterbacks. If you get a little bit off balance, it's something that, you know, these guys have picked up things that they've been doing for most of their career. And it takes a long time to change those habits.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur from training camp in Green Bay. I'm Mike Clemens.
Actually, the Chuck and Winkler Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Ryan Horvath, filling in for the Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman sitting in his usual spot back from vacation. We're going to go out now to the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, talk with Rob Reichel from Forbes.com. The Packers back in action, their third preseason game on Thursday. They're going to travel to Canada to take on the Oakland Raiders, for one more season before they move to Las Vegas. Rob, I want to talk some backup quarterbacks with you. You think there's any chance that the Packers upgrade with a veteran quarterback if Kizer and Boyle have rough finishes to this preseason? I know like a guy like Sam Bradford's out there right now.
Yeah, Ryan, and good to talk to you guys. I mean, there's a few guys on the street. To answer your question, Ryan, I'm going to say no. I think they've made their bet here with Kizer and Boyle, and they're going to sleep in it. And I think the general manager right now, Brian Gutekunst, is not willing to say he completely botched the Kizer for Demaryius Randall trade. I think he wants to let that play out another year before he admits it's a mistake. A lot of people believe it's already a mistake. I think Gutekunst wants to give it a little bit more time before he's willing to start taking the bullets on that trade and saying he messed it up. But, you know, guys, I write at Forbes today just not only the importance of always having a quality backup, but when you factor in, I think one of the most underreported things with Aaron Rodgers is just how dinged he has been through his career, guys. I mean, in addition to those broken collarbones in 13 and 17 that cost him half the season, I mean, I think people forget he finished 06 on injured reserve. He was Brett Favre's backup. He didn't play in 06, but he got in for some mop-up duty that year against the Patriots, and he broke his foot. In 07, people kind of forget it. He had that unbelievable, brilliant performance on that Thursday night down in Dallas against the Cowboys. And the next week in practice, he's horsing around, and he suffers a hamstring injury that sidelines him for 4 weeks. You know, he's had a couple of concussions that we know of. He's going to be 36 in December. I mean, guys, they need a quality backup more than ever as Rodgers gets up there in years. And I'll be honest, I don't think that guy is on the roster.
Yeah, no, I don't like the backup quarterback position right now for the Packers at all. Rodgers is going through a little bit of a back stiffness. Now, when I heard that he was not playing on Thursday, you know, a couple of hours before game time, do you buy into it? And if you do you think it's anything of a concern for Rodgers that he's got this back issue? Because I don't remember him having one in the past. Maybe you do, Robbie.
No, he hasn't. I mean, this is new if we take him at face value. You know, this could also be one of those remarkable, out-of-the-blue type of injuries, guys, that all of a sudden sends a major league pitcher to IR when you need a roster spot opened or something like that, too. It is August. It's preseason. We'll take him at face value. I don't think it's anything critical or anything to worry about, Chuck, in terms of limiting him when the season gets here. But you know, I do think the bigger picture is it certainly wouldn't hurt him to get two or three series against live bullets, against live competition here in the preseason, working inside LaFleur's offense for the first time. If this was still Mike McCarthy's offense, Chuck, I wouldn't bat an eye. Rodgers probably doesn't need the preseason. But the offense, guys, day in and day out in training camp has been really sloppy. The defense has been way ahead of the offense, you know, with Chicago looming in week one, the number one defense in football a year ago. We all remember what Khalil Mack did to Green Bay's game plans a couple different times. I think that offense needs to crank it up 400 degrees at least before we get to the September 5th opener. Because right now, guys, what we've seen out of that offense just daily in practice has not been very good. So I do think, Chuck, it's important that Rodgers gets a little bit of playing time tomorrow night, or Thursday night, I mean, in the game against Oakland. Whether that happens or not, I guess is still a wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, because the feeling is, I know some people are, including some of your comrades out there who cover the team, feel that if he doesn't play tomorrow night, okay, he's not going to play the fourth exhibition game, so then you're just going to ride Rodgers out there cold against the Bears in a new offense. LaFleur seems to be, you know, taking the attitude that he's fine if Rodgers doesn't play a snap in the preseason. Sure, Rodgers might feel the same way, but I mean, if LaFleur's fine with it, Rodgers are fine with it, why are we all complaining about it then?
Well, I think LaFleur largely has to parrot whatever his quarterback says. I think the last thing those two want to do is look like they're somehow out of alignment And if Rodgers is going to put out the message that the preseason isn't all that critical to him, I think LaFleur almost has to follow suit and say the exact same thing. I do think deep down LaFleur would like to see Rodgers in one or two of these games to start to get a rhythm with his guys again against number one offenses. Now Rodgers is going to tell you that, you know, what Mike Pettin is throwing at them on a day-to-day basis in terms of scheme and blitz packages and creativity is a lot more valuable to him than the vanilla defenses he's going to see, in the preseason here against Baltimore or, you know, Oakland's not nearly as vanilla as some of these other teams, but, you know, it certainly would have been vanilla in week one form in the preseason as well. But the bottom line is it's still high-level starters on some of these other teams. I mean, Baltimore's defense was as good as you had in the National Football League last year. It would have been good for Aaron to play in that game, I think, against some of those people rather than day in and day out the same guys he sees in his uniform. So, I don't know, Chuck. I do think the preseason is too long. I don't think they need four games. I think it's overdone, but I do think there's some value in terms of getting your guys ready for the season. And the question is going to linger until proven otherwise. Is Rodgers going to get what he needs out of this preseason without playing in one of these games?
You're listening to Chuck and Winkler here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. We're talking with Rob Reichel. You could find his work at Forbes.com, where he covers the Green Bay Packers. So we moved on from one old guy on the team, Aaron Rodgers, to the second oldest guy on the team, Mason Crosby. I just read your piece on him and his kicking competition. Do you believe he will be the kicker week one in Chicago?
Well, I don't believe it's going to be Sam Ficken. Crosby's going to win that competition, guys. He may have already won it. The thing that probably hurts Crosby the most is just salary, Ryan. Mm-hmm. I think it's 3.6 that he's due, and his cap number is 4.8 or something like that. I mean, it's a high number. But the bottom line is Mason Crosby has seen anything and everything there is to see. He survived his 2012 season when he made 63% of his kicks. He survived Detroit last year when he missed the four field goals and the extra point, and he came back down the stretch and he made 90% of his kicks in the last 2.5 months. The guy is a proven vet, an all-time locker room guy, a pro's pro. Ryan, they're going to have 8 games, I would assume, maybe more, that are decided by a touchdown or less. You do not want a field goal situation like Chicago's going to have potentially. You just don't want that position to be, you know, up in the air on a week-in, week-out basis. Green Bay ran off and, you know, ran away from Ryan Longwell guys back leading into the 06 season because of money. And they went with Dave Rayner, who made 74% of his kicks and just wasn't ready for the bright lights. And you guys remember that, you know, that cost them at various times in the 06 season. That's the last thing they need to do here with a rookie head coach is give them pause and give them question marks at the kicker position. I think it'll be Mason Crosby when it's all said and done, Ryan. I don't think it's a 100% slam dunk, but for now, anyways, he's absolutely won the competition, I think, against Sam Ficken.
Jumping over to the defensive side of the ball, Rob, Rashawn Gary continues to get high praise from the coaching staff in every interview I watch, but for the second straight preseason game, he didn't really do a whole lot on the stat sheet. What are you seeing from him at camp on the practice field? Do you think he could be a difference maker this season, or is he going to be a project, like a 2 to 3 year project?
I think he's a project, Ryan. I thought at the time they drafted him, everybody I talked to after the draft kind of felt the same way. For whatever reason, Ryan, when you look at Gary's history and his career at Michigan, even coming in there so highly touted as the number one prep kid in the country, it just didn't translate to the field. He's got all these measurables. He's got all these, you know, all these remarkable bench numbers and 40 times and strength and speed and athleticism and that just blows scouts away. And on the other side of the ball, Chase Winovich is sacking quarterbacks. Yeah. And on Gary's side, he's getting locked up. He is impressive at times, Ryan, with his speed, his hands, he punches well. That there's a lot of things he does well other than finish. I mean, say what you will for Kyler Fackrell, guys, and and you know, for the first 2 years, we all had our doubts there. But when he was given a chance last year, guys, he finished. 10.5 sacks. I think he only had about 25 pressures total. But that told you, when he got near a quarterback, he finished. Gary still does not do that for whatever reason. And maybe the light goes on. Maybe he'll see more single teams, guys, once the season gets here. Maybe they'll scheme him well because guys like Za'Darius Smith are going to be doubled up and things like that, and he's the beneficiary when that's all done. But right now, Ryan, I would say project just because the finishing ability has not been there.
This game that's played in Winnipeg on Thursday, you think that's a good idea? I mean, I always like to keep our teams in the United States and let our people here in our country see our teams and are going to Winnipeg to play a preseason game. How do you feel about that?
You cracked me up, Chuck. I think at the end of the day, it's fine as long as they get over there, Chuck, and they are 100% content and fine with that field, and they don't feel it in any way, shape, or form they're putting any of their guys at risk.
I heard the game is going to be played on ice. Is that a bad rumor?
Say it again.
Somebody told me the game is going to be played on ice.
You're so full of it.
It's going to be 32 degrees up there.
This field will not be like that, Chuck. I mean, you guys remember the nonsense that they had that field in 2016, I think it was, in the, you know, when Favre had his Hall of Fame induction and they were supposed to play the Colts in the Hall of Fame game. And that field, I was walking around on it before the game, guys, and it was just a train wreck. You would have been putting your players at risk, and they actually, you know, the brighter minds prevailed, and they actually eliminated that game that night. Now, you're not going to see anything like that, Chuck. I think it's great to, you know, take your game and bring it somewhere else so other people can get a look at it firsthand. I think there's a lot of positives to that. I get your point about keeping a team like Green Bay, who has such a following throughout the country here, keeping them at home. But it's not a bad idea, I think, Chuck, to take them somewhere else as long as the playing surface and the playing conditions are fine.
Rob, thanks a lot, my friend. Keep up the good work.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
That was Rob Reichel. You can find his work at Forbes.com. He's also the author of 8 books on the Green Bay Packers and a sports editor at News Publishing Company. And he joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. You had to get that Canada dig in there, didn't you?
I mean, they're playing this game in Winnipeg. They can't even sell tickets for the game.
What is there, 8,000 tickets sold, think I saw last or something ridiculous?
Initially, they put tickets on the secondary site for like $200-$300. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't sell. Now they're down to like 60. 50 and 60 bucks. They still think they're going to outdraw the Winnipeg CFL team, you know, that 3-down team that they play there.
Yeah.
Do you ever see a CFL game? Do you ever bet on a CFL game?
I usually just take the over because it's always like 65 to 62 in those games.
Okay. With 3 downs, too.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 downs and they're scoring the 60s. But, they're playing this game and it's a beautiful stadium, from what I understand. I was joking about the ice because I feel like it's always cold in Canada.
Yeah.
Even when I went up there in May. For the Bucs series in Toronto, it was like freezing cold up there in the end of May. This stadium is supposed to be a nice stadium. It's going to be that field turf they're going to be playing on. I just like the Oakland Raiders, man. I mean, I just think going to Canada. They got their own football, but Canada. Keep that game in the United States.
A lot to unpack there with Rob outside of just the Canada talk. The Rashawn Gary stuff, really interesting to hear that a guy's going to be a project and you reach on him in the first round. I want to dive into that. I want to dive into Brian Gutekunst a little bit here. I feel like there's going to be a lot of pressure on Brian Gutekunst. I think this is a big year. But first, Frames, while you were gone, the main talk of the day yesterday came from an article out of 538.com. Is Aaron Rodgers an elite quarterback? I want to get your take on that when Chuck and Winkler returns here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Ryan Horvat, filling in for the Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman in his usual spot. 414-799-1250 gets you on the show. You could also tweet at us all morning long at 1057FM, thefan.com. A busy day here on The Fan Frames. Kevin Harlan one of my favorite broadcasters of all time. He's going to join Bill Michaels in the 10 a.m. hour today.
Kansas City, you know, such a part of the country because he's flying to all these games. But his summer home is in Door County. His daughter and Sam Decker got married in Door County. Was it like last summer? But at the one of the golf courses I was playing up there this past week or 2 weeks ago. But yeah, he lives in Door County in the off season, summertime he goes up to Door County. People say they've spotted him up there. But if you were to tell me Kevin Harlan was going to do every Packer and Buck game on national TV, I'd take it a second.
Oh, absolutely. I would probably take a chunk out of my.
I could watch Kevin Harlan paint a wall.
Out of my wall at the throne. I know he's so great.
He can do play-by-play of a kindergarten parking lot game. That's how good he is.
You know how good he is? He even relates to the millennials. If you buy the NBA 2K series, mm-hmm. He does play-by-play in those video games, too.
He's outstanding. I remember the first time I heard Kevin, it was I was going to college in Eau Claire, and he was doing the Timberwolves. Minnesota Timberwolves on radio, and you could barely get it in Eau Claire. And I was like, man, this guy's fantastic. This was like late 80s, early 90s, I want to say. And he was outstanding. I was like, gosh, why is this guy only doing the NBA locally here? This guy's big time stuff. I mean, he was good. He had all the expressions, and you could tell, I mean, Kevin Harlan was on his way.
He's so good. Did he always have the voice? Because like my favorite, and he's so good at improvising is what I like about Kevin Harlan. Like if a fan runs out on the field, he'll mm-hmm. do play-by-play for the drunken fan getting tackled by security.
And the incident where that happened, where he was doing the play-by-play, I remember hearing a podcast that he did a few years later. And he thought when he did the play-by-play of that fan running on the field, that he was going to get back to his hotel and he was like, oh boy, what have I done? My bosses are going to be after me. At CBS or wherever it was, I think it was Westwood One. Mm-hmm. They're going to be after me. But he said the bosses liked it. They thought it was funny, but it was out of character because he usually, you know, doesn't take it to that level. But he thought he was going to get in trouble for doing that.
Well, you never know. Like when you show a little bit of personality into a broadcast, I actually just got finished reading that ESPN. These guys have all the fun book.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting reading about like how John Skipper and all the suits at ESPN. Like in the original days of ESPN when Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick started to become stars and they started to say, welcome to the big show. They were pretty much told, just read the scores, read the box score, and do the highlights. Mm-hmm. They didn't want those guys to become personalities almost. They just wanted them to be boring and bland.
And now they are. Except for Van Pelt.
Van Pelt's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for Van Pelt. But that's, I mean, that's they didn't want those guys to become stars because they didn't want to pay them all money, a lot of money. You ought to read the book called The Big Show. I think it's called The Big Show. It's written by Dan Patrick.
The Dan Patrick one? Yeah, I haven't got to that.
Yeah,
I got to check
that out. 20 years ago. I think he might have co-written it with Olbermann. It's been so long. I have it somewhere. But that was a good book, too. It talked about their rise and how, broadcasters as broadcasters, how both of them and how Olbermann was, always going after him. Olbermann was a management killer. I mean, everywhere he's gone. He's so talented. Keith is, he's so talented. He's so good, but he'll go to a network for a couple of months or a year or so or 2 years, have his own show. And before you know it, he's going to war with management and then he's on to the next place, but he's so good that he keeps getting hired.
Yeah. They said he would write his whole show, like his whole hour long program in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
He'd be done. And then he'd be outside smoking a pipe. And they're like, people were like, I don't even know if there was tobacco in that pipe. I think he was just so antisocial. It got him out of talking to people.
But I mean, broadcasters, I always think are so, it's to like a broadcaster. I mean, you may like somebody, they may be good. Like I'm not a big Joe Buck fan, but he's a great broadcaster. Just doesn't appeal to me.
Joe Buck?
Joe Buck does. I mean, Kevin Harlan, great broadcaster. He appeals to me, but there's certain guys, fantastic broadcasters.
QB Brown.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I like QB.
So do I. I love QB.
Yeah, but I mean, he's like a color analyst. But I'm talking about the guys who are broadcasting the game.
Mike Breen.
Breen doesn't appeal to me.
Really?
But he's solid, rock solid. He's going to get all the calls right. He's not going to mess many things up. You know, sure, they're going to slip up from time to time. But, No, Mike Breen doesn't do it for me.
No.
That's
surprising.
Tirico, I love Tirico.
Love Tirico too.
Tirico could do everything. You know, Bart and I had this thing about Vin Scully. Vin Scully, I mean, I think we all agree, Hall of Fame broadcaster, but I know Vin didn't appeal to him, which I understand. You know, certain guys appeal to me that may not appeal to him, or certain guys may appeal to you that don't appeal to me. It's all subjective broadcasting.
Yeah, Kevin Holden was in. We had this conversation as well.
I don't like Kevin.
I did.
Oh, is he here? Oh, I didn't know
that. I hope you like Kevin, because he's going to be at the golf outing, and that's coming up September 25th. This season, it's at the beautiful Western Lakes Golf Club in Pewaukee. It's time for the 13th annual Perkins Restaurant and Bakery's Fan Charity Golf Outing to benefit Give Kids the World. It's going to give you a chance to golf with guys from the Fan, like Chuck, who's pretty damn good. Other local celebrities like Kevin, who's not any good. And it's just $125 for a day of golfing. Breakfast, lunch, dinner from Perkins, Robert's Specialty Meats, and Saz's. Get all the details. I'd get signed up right now, today, here on Tuesday morning, 1057fmthefan.com, because these spots are flying, because you got local celebrities, guys like Leroy Butler, arguably one of the greatest Packers of all time. You get to hang out, play 18 holes with Leroy Butler. And you, Frames, but I feel like I wouldn't want to play with you. Because you're too damn good, and you're too damn competitive.
It's not like I'm a scratch golfer. I shoot in the 80s. I mean, I shoot
What'd
in
you
the
do
80s.
All weekend?
Well, golf.
Exactly.
But, I mean, I was like 87, 88. I mean, I was playing some tough courses. But I didn't think I golfed very well this weekend. I mean, I always have, like each nine, I would have that double or triple that would just kill me. Go hit it out of bounds, penalty stroke, boom, boom. You know, I hit the ball where it lies. I play the penalty strokes and all that. I'm not thinking mulligans and that sort of thing. Because I want to get better. You know, I mean, you're not going to get any better by cheating yourself. But this golf outing that we do every year, fantastic. And people who've come to it have enjoyed it. Give Kids the World, a terrific foundation that we support here on the Fans. So, and it's $125 to play. That is relatively cheap for a golf outing, man. That is for what you get here and for the cost it goes to and the great golf, the 18 Western Lakes is a wonderful course. And you get fed. You know, the Robert Specialty Meats is worth the price of alone of the $125, man, because you can slam all the food you want. You can put some in your golf cart, and you can put some in your golf bag to take home probably too. Mm-hmm. Unless Paul doesn't see you do it. It's all good. But this is, you know, it's going to be the last week of September 25th, and it's always a great day. Weather's always fine, and I'm telling you, when we walk out of there at 6, 7 o'clock at night, it's a good time had by all at our always. I've been the 10 of them now, and I've enjoyed all of them.
10 of the 13. How about 13. That?
Yeah.
Find us 414-799-1250. Find us at 1057FM, The Fan. And I just posted a Twitter Tuesday question for you. Your chance at $20 to eat at Perkins. Are you enjoying the season of Brewers baseball? Why or why not? Respond with the hashtag CWLunch to enter, and we'll choose one random winner today. We're going to talk to Adam McKelvey, MLB.com, Brewers.com, in about 10 minutes from now. See if he's enjoying the season as a beat reporter, if he enjoys being in that clubhouse every day when this team is struggling. Frames, we mentioned you were on vacation doing a little bit of golf, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about this Aaron Rodgers conversation. Is Aaron Rodgers elite? And I want to know from you, what is an elite quarterback even? I got some numbers. We'll go through that. 414-799-1250. It's Chuck and Winkler here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You look pretty good today to me. So, yeah, I was excited to have him back out there. Thought he did a great job.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur talking about Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers missed preseason game number 2. We were expecting him to make the start against the Baltimore Ravens last Thursday. However, came up with some back tightness. But he did return to the practice field yesterday. Looked good. It's Chuck and Winkler here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Ryan Horvath. Freems, I actually developed a little bit of back tightness myself. My wife, her cousin's getting married this Saturday. Looks like I may have to miss the whole thing. And
Wait, you're not going to a wedding because you got some back tightness?
No, I was trying to get out of it like Rodgers. I was trying to get out of it like Rodgers.
I could always write you
a prescription.
You know, well, not a prescription. I could write you a note to say, hey, let this man out. You're going to a wedding?
Yeah, I tried to get out of
it.
It's in Illinois.
Oh, so you got to travel.
I got to travel to Joliet, Illinois.
Okay.
2-hour car ride.
Uh-huh.
It's her cousin.
God, weddings of the summer just suck.
You know what? I'm actually fine with this, except for it's college football week 0, so there's 2 games. Miami and Florida play, and we'll talk a little bit about some college betting lines with Eli Hershkovich coming up at Radio.com Sports in the 9 o'clock hour. But, yeah, there's college football. So I don't mind getting them out of the way right now, though, here in August. I hate fall weddings. I got married in the winter during the Big Ten championship game. That was brutal. I don't like missing college football for weddings.
No. I mean, let's see. I keep a file cabinet for all the weddings I've been in. I mean, the ones that I've been the star in. But going to weddings, it's summertime is, I mean, wearing a coat and tie in the summertime.
Sweating.
Oh man.
I know. I look like Patrick Ewing at the charity stripe every time I go to a wedding in the summer because I sweat a ridiculous amount, man.
Yeah. And then the fall, if it's on a Saturday, of course, there's college football. And what guy wants to be taken away from a TV set on a Saturday afternoon?
Nobody.
To go to a wedding?
Nobody.
But, I mean, if they're going to have a Friday night wedding, I'd be okay with it. Although there's high school football, man, in the fall. So, I mean, there's some good games and all that. I love high school football. If you're into that, you don't want to miss that. Pennant races are going on. Is there really any a good time for a wedding?
No, never. Never. June's fine with me.
But if it's warm outside, and the NBA finals are going on. Saturday night, I suppose. No, I just think weddings, maybe a Friday night. Maybe like a Friday night in May.
So back tightness couldn't get me out of the wedding. Back tightness also, if you have that in the bedroom, I don't really know what to do for you. But if you're having some other problems, though,
you have some problems, man, in that area, and your lady is not too happy with you these days. Well, there could be a reason why. And that answer, ladies and gentlemen, BlueChew.com. The first chewables are the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Guys, these things work twice as fast. I shouldn't call them things. They're chewables, and they've been working, and they've been helping guys, and they've been making their wives or girlfriends, their partners, very happy. These chewables work twice as fast, again, as Viagra and Cialis. Here's what you do. You go to BlueChew.com. You go to an online physician. The consultation is free. So what you do is they'll ask you a couple of questions. You give some answers, and if you qualify, you'll get prescribed quickly online. You don't have to go to a doctor, or you don't have to go to a pharmacy. They ship it right to your house, right to your apartment, your condo, maybe your work, wherever you want it shipped. They'll do that, and it gives you the confidence in bed every time. So you and your partner will absolutely love it. Chew it and do it with Blue Chew. And here's the deal right now. Go to BlueChew.com. Your first order is free. I got the first order for you, free. Just use my promo code, Chuck, and you'll get your first order free. Just pay the $5 in shipping, and that's all you got to do. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code Chuck. If you you got any events coming up or you just want to make your significant partner very, very happy and maybe failing in that area and you want to be the talk of the town, BlueChew.com, promo code Chuck, first order free, pay the $5 in shipping. That's Blue Chew. Chew it and do it with Blue Chew.
So we're going to talk some Brewers baseball with our Brewers.com and MLB.com insider Adam McKelvey in a few short minutes. Also, I want to dive into some Brian Gutekunst conversation because he spoke to the media yesterday. One thing I love about Brian Gutekunst, he's always available to the media. Packers make a cut. They cut a guy like Jordy Nelson. He's available to the media. Training camp, he's available to the media. They signed some free agents. Always available. But Frames, the main topic, the main conversation while you were gone was this article that came out from 538.com. It was written by Josh Herzmeyer. The headline, Are We Sure Aaron Rodgers Is Still an Elite Quarterback? Now, we got to get to a break. We got to get to Adam, so we're not going to dive into this too much. We're going to come back with this a little bit later on. But I want to know real quick, to kind of get things going here, what, in your opinion, what makes a quarterback elite? And who in the NFL is elite? Like, who is on your short list of elite quarterbacks?
Well, certainly Aaron Rodgers is.
He is.
Of course he is.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there should be no doubt about it. And I don't know who this guy is, and I don't know what the website is. Never heard of the website, never heard of the guy himself. But, I mean, is he quoting other coaches, other defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators?
Well, no, that's
guys
the
on the
thing.
Team? I mean, is there anything that says this? I mean, this is basically an opinion from this guy, right? If you know that he's an elite quarterback, I mean, what the hell? What have we been watching the last 15 years?
Yeah, they go through some stats, some troubling numbers, the third down sack numbers.
We can get into that, but
throwing the
my
ball
gosh,
away.
How can you not say Aaron Rodgers is not an elite quarterback? People are down on him because he's sitting out a couple of preseason games?
People down on Aaron Rodgers, people down on our Milwaukee Brewers after another shutout loss. They managed one hit. We're going to talk with Adam McKelvey, MLB.com, Brewers.com up next. It's Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.